Let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your Bibles, everybody. Say word. One more time, I caught you off guard. Say word. Now, we're not going to do pens and lesson plans yet. We have a little different something for you tonight. Welcome to Good Friday. If you are a visitor, let's welcome all the visitors here tonight. Amen. My name is Miles McPherson. In the past, I was on the news this morning, and they were asking me about the what they call the C&E Christians, or the Christers, the Christmas and Easter Christians. And I said, well, maybe some of those people aren't Christians. They're coming to see God. And so if you are here for the first time or you haven't been to church in a few years, we are so happy you're here. God is excited that you are here. And just know that God knows everything about you and he loves you anyway, just like he knows all our junk and he loves us anyway. Amen. Amen. Everybody in here got junk. Matter of fact, someone revealed to me a little while ago that there were actually two ways to get to heaven. And we're going to share both of those ways with you. I'm going to share with you right now. One is that you could be perfect and never sin your whole life. And since that doesn't apply to any of us in here, there's only one way to get to heaven. And that means that we got to trust in Jesus who never sinned and died for our sins. So if you feel like, man, I messed up, welcome to the club. We're all mess ups here. But God loves us, has a great plan for our life. Before I pray and get started, let me tell you a little story. When I was a little kid, my father would go to great lengths to scare us, like any good father does. And he would, you know, lay under our bed all night, you know, just waiting for us to come up and just grab us when we went to bed. And he would go outside the window with one of those Halloween monster masks and put a candle under his head and, you know, come out window at night. And we got so scared that, you know, and then we would get him back. Of course, we had to get him back. And when we got him back, he would tell us, I'm going to get you, but he didn't tell us when. So he said, don't turn your lights off because I'm going to get you. So we got scared of the dark. We didn't sleep with the lights on. So like any good father, I wanted to pass that tradition on to my kids. Can I get amen, fellas? So I scared the mess out of my kids. And even still, they're in their 20s. I still scare them. I tell them, you know, I'm going to get you. And just let them worry and be scared and, you know, like, you know, sleep at night with little twitches just trying to want to get them. But when my kids were little, they would say, I'm scared of the dark. And I would tell them, you don't need to be scared of the dark because the dark, there's nothing in the dark. Matter of fact, darkness is not even an entity you can measure. Darkness is only the result of removing light. That's the only way you can get darkness. So it's not a thing or an entity. It just happens to occur when you remove something. And that's what's left over is darkness. But in spiritual darkness is a very different thing. Spiritual darkness is something that has a mind and an intent. It has a leader. It has a strategy. It has a plan. The devil is behind the plan. Spiritual darkness, unlike physical darkness, is evil. And it's conniving. And it's after all of us. So what we're going to look at tonight is Jesus Christ coming to the edge of darkness. We're going to see the devil is going to throw everything he has at Jesus to derail him from his goal. Jesus' goal, you know, he was born on Christmas and he died on Good Friday. And the whole reason he died was to pay the price for our sin. Now, the devil couldn't stop him from dying, or he tried to, and the devil didn't want him not to die. The devil wanted him to die with sin in his life. Because if Jesus would have sinned before he died, his death would have been null and void. It wouldn't be able to help us. So the devil's goal was trying to derail him. And he brought him right to the edge of his darkness. He brought every error of his life to the edge of darkness. Today we're going to look at how Christ was brought to the edge of darkness in three scenes. We're going to have three dramas tonight. We're going to have three little sermonettes. We're going to have communion. And we're going to look at how Christ and his disciples were brought to the edge of the darkness through the eyes of Judas. But I want you to be thinking about yourself, because the same darkness that beat Judas down and defeated Judas, that couldn't defeat Jesus, is after you. And if you trust in Christ, he will get you through. And he will be able to empower you to conquer the darkness in your life. So right now, I want to ask you to bow your heads and pray that God would give you encouragement tonight to trust him with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Lord, thank you so much that you conquered darkness, evil, Satan, death. Thank you that today we remember who you are, what you have done, and more importantly, what you offer us, eternal life and eternal forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Judas. Judas.
Who is it?
You don't recognize my voice.
Are you my conscience?
Has it been that long since we last spoke?
What do you want?
Judas, what has gotten into you?
I've just seen something, and it's eating away at me.
And now you have a decision to make. Or have you already made it?
I don't know!
Tell me what happened, Judas.
I was in the upper room tonight with Jesus and the other disciples. We had just finished supper when all of a sudden, Jesus begins to take off his outer clothing and then girds himself. We all looked at each other as if to say, "What is going on?" He then takes a basin and fills it with water, walks over and kneels before Thomas. And then Jesus begins to wash his feet. Thomas didn't know what to say. None of us did. When he was finished, he went over and knelt before Peter. Peter said, "Jesus, what are you doing?" Jesus reached down for Peter's feet. And Peter said, "Master, wait, wait. Are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus continued. And Peter said, "Master, please stop. Friend, lift your hem," Jesus said. And Peter replied, "Jesus, you are not going to wash my feet ever." Then Jesus said, "Peter, if you do not let me wash you, you can have no part of me." Well, this seemed to hit Peter like a stack of bricks. And he replied, "Not only my feet then, wash my hands and my head too." Jesus was washing feet, and no one said a word. They all remained silent and let him.
So what troubles you so?
He talked about the master serving the servant. He was trying to illustrate the master serving the servant. Don't you understand what that means?
Tell me, Judas.
It's blasphemous! Listen, if this kind of idea gets into the hearts of men, don't you understand what that means? We have a country to save, a people to save. We are God's chosen, and we are occupied by a bloodthirsty nation. Now is not the time for peace. Now is not the time for servanthood. Now is the time for revolution! And if Jesus is going to present himself as Messiah, then what is with this talk of love and peace and talking about his own death? I followed him for 3 years. I followed him from town to town. I gave him every opportunity to take control of the situation, call us to arms, and lead us against Rome. And now time is running out. And what does he do but wash our feet? I'm going out of my mind. This must end.
Don't do it, Judas. Judas, don't do it.
Jesus is a good man. A very, very good man. But he is leading us to a self-complacency. And you may think you're going to stop me, but it is him who must be stopped.
Judas. Judas.
Let's turn to John chapter 13. Get your lesson plan out and your pen. One of the things you have to know is that the devil can never force you to do anything. The devil cannot disqualify you from God's blessing. He couldn't do it to Jesus. He can't do it to you. But what he can do is that he can pressure you so much that you do something to disqualify yourself. And as every one of you sitting here today, God looks at you and he says, "I want to bless you, I want to love you, I want to use you, I want to give you power." And the only reason it won't happen is because of something you have done, not the devil. But what the devil is very good is deception. He's very good at pressing in on you and pressuring you to do things that he knows will not be pleasing to the Father. And if you do those things, you disqualify yourself. You delay God's blessing. You mess up your own mind and your heart. And so what we're going to look at is not only how darkness was pressing in on Judas and Judas broke, but how Jesus was surrounded by all the evil that the devil can throw at him. At the Last Supper, he was with his 12 disciples. Chapter 13, they ate dinner, he washed their feet, and the whole time he knew Judas was going to betray him. The whole time he knew Peter would deny him. The whole time he knew he was going to be arrested not too long from then, be beaten, crucified, and hung on a cross. And all that pressure is on him. And the devil's going to give him opportunity after opportunity to get out of it. Look what it says in John chapter 13, verse 15. It says, after he washed their feet, he says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. And if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Verse 18, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. And look at verse 21. And when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in his spirit and testified, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. If you look in your notes, point number one, at the Last Supper, Jesus was subjected to leadership darkness. In other words, the evil of the devil had crept into Jesus' leadership team. Now, God, the devil is going to attack you all the time. But also know he will attack your friends. He will attack your family. He will attack the people that love you, the people you trust, the people who you think got your back. He will come after them to get to you. Why is that important for you to know? So you don't get surprised by it. And so you don't get shocked by it. One of the problems we have in our world is we put too much trust in people who will fall, who will make mistakes. And we have to be forgiving and encouraging those people. But we also have to know that when that happens, whether it be to someone we love or ourselves, that we don't beat them down, that we pray for them, encourage them. Amen? And if you know that the devil is after you, which he's after all of us, he doesn't want us to follow Christ. He doesn't want us to be faithful. So he's going to come at you every which way he can. And in Jesus' case, he came after one of his disciples. He came after all his disciples, for that matter. He even told Peter, the devil wants to sift you like wheat. Peter, one of his inner circle, denied him three times. And look what it says. In verse 21, when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. And now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus said, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. Now, if I was there, I'm putting my hands in my pocket. I'm going for some Reese's candy. I ain't no bread. But that's just me. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, and Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Ain't that something? He says, you know what? I know your number. Go ahead. But here's the thing. Go do what you got to do, but even when you do it, you still can't stop me. Amen? Amen. Amen.
I thought it was supposed to be black.
Want to do the light?
You came.
Yes.
I don't believe it.
I told you I would.
You amaze me, Judas. So fervent for the rabbi. Such zeal. A true believer. And yet, here you are.
Could I just have my money?
Just give him the money.
You know, not only are you going to regret this, and you will regret this, but you just can't stop yourself, huh?
We had an agreement that you would give me the money first.
Look at him. He has given up everything to follow Jesus. And now, for a mere 30 pieces of silver, oh, no small amount of money to be sure, you're willing to give up the King of the Jews. Are you not fascinated by this pathetic man?
Are you trying to change his mind with such insults?
Oh, brother, he can't change his mind. He has no power over his mind. No. Judas, look at him, brother. This is a man who in front of us is coming undone. The dream ends tonight, Judas. The dream ends tonight.
We had a deal that was not part of the deal!
What about all the things that you saw? Didn't you see miracles that we only heard about? I heard that he's a very loving man. Didn't he love you, Judas? Of course he did. Wasn't he good to you? It was 5,000? 5,000 people were fed with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Oh, that must have been something to see. Oh, such a loving man, kind, generous. I heard that even the children loved him, huh? But revolution has a fragrant aroma.
Annas, just give him the money. Let's take this information and be done with it.
Of course. Of course. Time is growing short and we have much to do. Judas. But I just have one more question, Judas. Where are you right now? Where is your soul?
Stop it! Just stop it! Stop! You will find him on the lower slope of the Mount of Olives in the garden. He will not be armed. He will only have 11 men with him.
The deed is done, brother. You hear?
Yes, I heard it. Now give him the money.
Oh, no. There, Judas. Oh, don't take it so hard. Here's your money.
Turn to Mark 14, verse 32. After the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. In Mark 14, 32, we're going to see Jesus subjected to emotional darkness, mental darkness, spiritual darkness. Matter of fact, point two in your notes is that he had mental darkness, emotional darkness, spiritual darkness. He was pressured every way you can imagine. It says in verse 32, they came to the place which is named Gethsemane, Mark 14:32. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Everyone say deeply distressed. The Bible tells in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, that he was so distressed that he sweat blood. Now, I don't know how many of you, I'm sure all of us in here, when we get stressed out, we rub our forehead. Imagine you bleeding blood, that you had so much stress, the blood vessels in your forehead burst. That's how much stress he was under. And it says in verse 34, he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." This is Jesus talking. He is so stressed out and so sorrowful to the point of death. He went a little further, fell on his ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father," or "Daddy, Daddy, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but what you will." Here's what Jesus said. "Daddy, is that you can do anything you want, so can you provide a way for heaven for everybody else other than me dying?" That's what he's saying. You can do anything. Unfortunately, God can't do anything. He can't deny his own word, and he can't deny his own character. He can't lie. He can't not be holy. And if someone says to you, "Well, there's other ways to heaven," Jesus just answered that question for you. Because Jesus said, if there's any other way to heaven, can we take that? That's what he said. So he asked the same question skeptics ask God. Is there any other way to heaven? And he says, "But not my will, your will be done." Verse 37, then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. "Father, is there any other way? Is there any other way?" Why? Because he was stressed, sorrowful to the point of death, pressure, evil, darkness. And when he returned, he found them asleep, for the eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. He came a third time and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, the betrayer is at hand." And immediately while he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away." Can you imagine betraying your God with a kiss? And every time we come to church or claim we are Christian, and smile about it, and then go out and do something that breaks God's heart, we do the same thing. "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, I go to that church. I go to that church. I go to this church." And then we go out there and drop an F-bomb. We go out there and do something sexual we shouldn't do, steal money, lie, gossip, whatever. And God's like, "Make up your mind." Same thing. Same thing. And then it says, verse 45, "As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Rabbi, Rabbi, teacher, teacher,' and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and took him." Everyone say pitiful. That's pitiful. Every single one of us here, we know the end of the story. And we're going to see in our next scene, the next time I come out, about Jesus' crucifixion. And every single one of us in here are being tempted by the devil to do the same thing Judas did, to deny him. To deny him with a kiss, to deny him with a smile. And at some point, we have to say, you know what, I am going to do what Jesus did. I am going to say, even though it's painful and uncomfortable at times for me to be a Christian, or it's I don't want to confront people, I don't want to be the one singled out, I am going to stand up for my Lord because he stood up for me. And at some point, we have to make that decision that were not a two-time-a-year Christian, or for some of y'all who come once a month, or whatever you do, that we're going to be walking with Christ every single day. Because if this on this day he said, you know what, I can't take it anymore, we would not have any hope of being forgiven. And what he's asking of us is nothing compared to what he gave to us. He gave to us his life. So in a minute, we're going to take communion all around this room, all along the walls in the front and the back, and in the overflow as well in the front. There are tables with bread and juice. And we're going to have they're going to play about three songs, and we're going to ask you to get up out of your seat in a minute. You can go to the back of the room, the front of the room, and get your communion if you want, your bread and your juice, and you're going to take communion. But here's what you're saying. Is you're saying, God, I am going to get up out of my seat on my own, and I'm going to take the bread and the juice, and I'm going to acknowledge that you died for my sin and rose from the dead, and I'm going to acknowledge that you didn't want to, and that it was painful. It was uncomfortable, but you did it anyway because of me. So I'm going to get up out of my seat, and I'm going to go down and take communion, and I am going to die to myself. I want to walk with you. I want to make a difference. I want you to do something powerful in me. I want you to do something powerfully through me. I want to be a witness in my world, whether it be my job, my home, my town, wherever you live. But you're not going to be one of these hideaway in your closet Christian. You're going to be a Christian that Jesus called us to be. And I don't mean a stereotype, but I will tell you most Christians in this country are like this. They won't suffer diddly squat for Christ. You say boo, they're ashamed of their Bible. They hide during the week, sneak in church, sneak out. God is saying, you know what? They ain't gonna cut it. So we're gonna pray. And there may be some of you in here today, you need to give your life to Christ. We're gonna give you two opportunities tonight, one right now, one later. Because if you take communion, you wanna make sure you are a believer in Christ, because you take it onto your damnation if you're not. Because what you're saying is, I reject him, but I acknowledge he died for me. You don't want to do that. So I'm going to ask you to all bow your heads and close your eyes just for 1 minute. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much that you died on the cross for our sin. And you clearly, clearly didn't want to go through that pain. But you did it for us. Now it's time for us to lay our lives down for you. Before we take communion, if you would like to ask Christ to be your Savior, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, thank you for waiting for me and being patient with me. I know you died for my sin and rose from the dead. Jesus, please forgive me. Come live in my heart, be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you. If you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up real high. We can see you and pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, all of you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless all of you. Very good. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Very good. Lord, thank you so much for those people. And I pray that this, their first communion, their first Easter, as your child, will be a blessed one. And I pray, as we all take communion, that we would acknowledge the price you paid for our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. What's going to happen is they're going to play a few songs. Just get up as you will. There's tables in the back. There's tables along that wall. In the overflow, there's tables there in front of the stage. Get up and come back to your seat, and then we'll be back when you're done.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am alone, oh, and when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, and when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Thank you. going to teach you another hymn that comes from Scotland. The words will be up. It has four verses, so by the end you'll know it. This is called Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. Let's sing it together. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he. 'Tis the long expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. By his son, God now has spoken. 'Tis the true and faithful word. Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like his? Friends through fear his cause disowning, foes insulting his distress. Many hands were raised to wound him, none would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God.
Check one, two. If you have, feel free to take your communion on your own if you want. I know some of you are still holding your cups. We're going to play one more song. You can take the bread and juice and say a prayer to the Lord. Thank him for his sacrifice for you. Amen. Okay.
Jealous for me, his love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy, and all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. Thank you.
Mary? Is that you? Mary? Is that you? Mary? It is you. Mary, Joseph is worried sick that he doesn't know where you are. He has half the village out looking for you, and he said he thought this would be the last place you would come. But you came. Mary, I am so sorry over what has happened here today. Please let me take you home.
When do they take these down?
I don't know.
I would like them to come down now.
Can I take you home now? Joseph is so scared.
He was a beautiful baby. I knew the Lord had given him to me. What I didn't understand is why, if the God I had worshipped my whole life, who had given me this beautiful child, why there was this sadness in his eyes, even when he wasn't crying. Perhaps it's only a mother who can see, but even when he was happy, his eyes always gave away something in his heart. Today they beat him until I can see into his body. They put a crown of thorns on his head and they pushed it deep into his skull. And they pounded nails through his hands and his feet. And when they placed him in the sky, the soldiers threw rocks at him and cursed him until their voices were hoarse. And even with his face full of blood, I could see his eyes. And there he was, my beautiful boy, still with that look in his eyes.
Mary, it will be dark soon. How will we make our way?
Saifa, look at all his blood. Does a man have that much blood in his body?
I don't know.
It doesn't seem right that all that blood should just be left there to stain the ground or to be food for the insects.
Come now, Mary. I'm going to take you home. Come.
Perhaps something will grow.
My God.
Turn to Mark 15. Mark 15. I'm going to share a few more minutes. We're going to see a very short, powerful video. Then we're going to have an opportunity for you to give your life to Christ and to come forward and to respond to the cross by walking away from your old life. I want to encourage you, tomorrow and Sunday, we have our Easter service. I want to encourage you to come tomorrow or the 8 o'clock or the late night, try to avoid the 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock service, because those are the probably most visitors will come, and then tomorrow will be a great time to come. But bring a friend. Bring somebody who needs to know about Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. In your notes, number 3, the crucifixion. Jesus was subjected to political darkness. He went through 5 false, bogus trials. He was subjected to physical darkness, as we're going to see in a minute. He was beaten, whipped, spit on, spear put in his head, in his sides, thorns in his head. He was subjected to social darkness. As you'll see, everybody was yelling, crucify him, mocking him, telling him, come off the cross. And finally, we're going to see he was subjected to spiritual darkness, where he even felt that his own father had turned his back on him, because Jesus became the sin that he died for. The one thing the Father cannot tolerate is sin. Jesus became that sin. He who had no sin became sin, and he did it for us. Chapter 15, verse 15 of Mark. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Everyone say scourged. That means that he had his back whipped 39 times with 9 leather straps. And he had his no clothes on. It whipped the skin and muscle off the bone. The whips had bone and metal chips in it and would rip the skin off the bone. That's what scourging is. Verse 16, the soldiers led him away into the hall of Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. They clothed him with purple. They twisted a crown of thorns on him and put it on his head. And they began to salute him, saying, Hail the King of the Jews. They mocked him. They struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. Bowing the knee, they worshiped him, falsely, by the way. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. They compelled a certain man, Simon the Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. And they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the 3rd hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written, the King of the Jews. And with him they also crucified 2 robbers, one on the right and one on the left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, And he was numbered with transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed him, cursed him, wagging their heads, saying, Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests, also mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, King of Israel, descend from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. You know what they were saying? If you want to prove you're Christ, come off the cross. Unfortunately, Jesus does not do what we want to prove he's Christ. He does what he does. And often we'll say, Jesus, if you do this for me, I'll obey you. If you do this for me, I'll believe you're God. And God doesn't play that game. He says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and you're going to believe me or not on my terms. So he's hung there. In verse 33, and when it was the 6th hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the 9th hour. For 3 hours, it was darkness in the middle of the day. Now, I have a theory. Of course, my opinion means what? Man, it seems like y'all been waiting for that all night. I've been sitting quiet all night just waiting for that. That in the middle of the day was darkness, and all the clouds were over his head. I wonder if those were demons coming to gloat at the dying Jesus. Verse 34, at the 9th hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you've ever felt like God has forsaken you, never like this. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus was tempted in every way we have been, and he never sinned. Why is that important for us to know? That if he can do it, you can do it. That if he can overcome even the feeling of being abandoned by his own father, why would he feel that way? Because he became the sin his father couldn't look at. He said, my God, Father, why are you forsaking me? So it was all part of the plan, though. And he died. So here we are today. What are you going to do about the cross? You're going to see a video in a minute. And you're going to see vividly how our culture responds to the cross. I want you to notice in this video, the people who walk by the cross and act like it's just a piece of wood. And as you watch this video, I want you to ask yourself, how do you respond to the cross? Are you willing today to give your life to Christ? Some of you already have, some of you still yet to do that. Are you willing to lay your life down every single day and be obedient every single day as your response to the cross? Or is your response to the cross, you come to church every now and then, put a couple dollars in, and that's good? Well, I can tell you that breaks God's heart, because he sure did give more of that to us. Amen? Watch the video, and I'll be right back. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you died for us. And even though it may have felt very lonely on that cross with everyone cursing at you, mocking you, feeling like your father turned his back on you, we thank you that you endured it for us. We thank you that you didn't turn back, you didn't shy away from the pain, the rejection, the spiritual battle. We thank you that you died a sinless death, and we are excited tomorrow and Sunday to celebrate your resurrection. Lord, I pray for all those people who walk by that cross as though it didn't mean anything. It's just a piece of wood, a religious symbol, when in fact it was all the hope they have to ever know God. I pray for that kid who put the cross down. Lord, forgive that kid. He didn't know what he was doing. And I pray as that cross bumped him in the head, I pray that where you touched him with that wood, that he would sense your presence for the rest of his life. And I pray that that kid would come to know you as his Savior. But Lord, there are people here tonight who are like those people in that video. They've been walking by you every day, going about their business, taking you for granted, assuming you'll always be there. Unfortunately, there's going to come a day when they're going to stand before you, before they know it, and have to give an account for their life. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me if you would like to give your life to Jesus. And then I'm going to ask you to stand and come forward. If you're in overflow, there'll be pastors in that room, and we're going to ask you to come to the front of that room as well. But I'm going to ask you not to be like those people in that video. Don't be those people who walk by the cross as though it doesn't mean anything. Don't be like those people who take Jesus' death casually. It's serious. It's life and death. It's an eternal issue. So if you would like to surrender your life to Jesus, some of you already did this tonight and we're talking to you again. We're going to include you again in this prayer. And if you would like to pray because you didn't before, this is your opportunity. So right now, in the privacy of your heart, if you're saying, Lord, I need to surrender my life to you, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I know you love me. I know you died for me. And I know you endured much pain for my life, for my soul. Jesus, please forgive me. Please grant me eternal life. Nail my sin to the cross. I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer for whatever reason, I'm going to ask you right now as you're sitting there to stand to your feet. No matter where you're at in this room or you're in the overflow, stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. And acknowledge your prayer and his forgiveness. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. If you prayed with me early and you rose your hand, you can stand. We're talking to you as well. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you're in the overflow, if you're in the cafe, please stand. There are pastors there who want to pray with you. Anybody else, stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to wait. Anybody else? You're saying tonight, Lord, I don't want to walk by the cross. I want to receive the salvation and the forgiveness you have for me. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing to do one more thing. In a minute, we're going to ask you to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. If you're in the cafe, just walk to the front of the room. There are pastors in that room that will talk with you. So right now, I'm going to ask all you people who are standing to come out of your seat and come on down to the altar, and let's give them a hand as they come on down. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right here. Stay right here. Stay right here. God bless you. 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 Come on. You got to move up. You got to move out of here. God bless you. 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 Hey, man, let's give him a big hand. God bless you. 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 How you doing? God bless you. Amen.
God bless you. 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 How you doing? God bless you.
Amen. Who's the man? How you doing, Jake?
God bless you.
Come around here, y'all. Come around here. Come forward. Come forward.
God bless you.
Amen. 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 I know you, though. What's up? How you doing? How are you? Jesus died so we don't have to. You will physically die, but you will never spiritually die. And tomorrow on Sunday, we're going to see how he rose from the dead, the ultimate victory. Because it's one thing to die, it's a whole other thing to rise from the dead. And he rose from the dead on time, when he said. He rose from the dead the first day of the week in the morning. He said he was going to come back. Every single one of you, guess how you can turn into an evangelist? Go home and say to one of your friends, I don't know what happened. I walked down to the front of the room. Everyone was clapping. It was just like, so you got to come with me tomorrow. Right? You going to bring somebody tomorrow? Tomorrow. We're going to pray for y'all. Then all of y'all, we're going to lead up this aisle and to the left, and I'm going to ask all y'all who are sitting down here if y'all can wait for us to get all these people through. The rest of y'all, we want to get out of this community very quietly and orderly. Are you feeling me on this? Very good. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all these people. And Lord, we thank you for their faith tonight. And we pray you bless them. Lord, again, we thank you for being good to us. Thank you for putting us here in Point Loma. We want to be a blessing to not only this community, but this city and this world. Thank you so much that you love us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve. Bless these people. In Jesus' name, amen.